Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
Good morning, one and all. On a beautiful Saturday, we welcome you in to 95.7 The Game. It's Dan Avone alongside Sterling Bennett. Sterling, once again, just remind the people where the hell it is that you're hiding out these days.
In witness protection in Hesperia, California.
Beautiful Hesperia, California. Population 35. How many people living in Hesperia?
Maybe. Not a lot. You're waving down to about two people down the road every single day. There's no sidewalks. And I'll tell you what, for the desert, it's like 60 degrees in my house right now. It's freezing. I'm bundled up. I got the PJs tucked into the socks. I got the sweatshirt on. Man, I'm trying to stay alive out here. It's so cold.
Yeah, you're on the border of Nevada. I'm sitting here rocking a T-shirt in San Francisco, California. Something's wrong with this picture here. So typically, in a place like that, you have what? There's like a general store. If you need something to eat, what are you doing? Is there a 7-Eleven that's going to help you out? What's going on in Hesperia, California?
I'm not frequenting the 7-Eleven at all. We have a Costco. We have a Walmart.
Hey, do not underrate a 7-Eleven burrito, especially when you're on Terrell Street and it's 2 in the morning. Go ahead.
Well, I will say this, that the 7-Eleven $3 deal for taquitos has been on my mind for the last week and a half. But I will say this, there are plenty of donut shops out here. There's plenty of burger joints out here. I mean, I was shocked when going from Northern California, which feels like it is the mecca of great food in the Bay, San Francisco, whatnot, to the desert. I was like, there's not going to be anything out here. There is a burger place on every corner. And if you know me, I am a sucker for a good burger.
All right, so let's just say you're having issues with the wife, which, of course, you will not. You guys are still in that honeymoon
stage. Is she not here today, Dan?
That's good living.
You can say whatever you want.
But if you wanted to say, I don't know, I want to get out of the house, I need to go to Vegas just for a night, just for a weekend, hook up with a buddy, can you get in the car? Are you driving to Vegas? How far is it?
Vegas is about 2 hours away. We are
by car?
A couple miles away from... Yeah, by car. Yeah,
wow.
We're a couple miles away.
That's dangerous.
Barstow's about, I don't know, maybe 60 miles away. So it's not too bad. You go in the dead of night. You'll get there in a couple minutes, really. But for my sake, I will not be frequenting Vegas at all. I'm not a gambler. Don't go out there and party. But I will say this. Whenever I want the wife out of the house, I say, why don't you go see your mom this weekend? I want to stay with the dog. Be by myself, but not a Vegas man myself. No.
All right. Well, that makes sense. Okay. We'll get back to Hesperia, but for right now, let's start things talk a little baseball. Why not? And then we'll wind into, obviously, the Giants. I do want to talk about our man Buster Posey. We'll segue into, of course, what's going on with the 49ers. I think we'll detail the majority of the morning talking about previewing the huge game, which is coming up tomorrow between the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers. And then we cannot omit a Golden State Warrior preseason that sees them perfect. I repeat, perfect. And what does that mean in terms of carrying over to the regular season? But let's just start here. I mean, I know, none of us want to see it, but I think you're staring at a Yankees-Dodgers World Series. But here's where I wanted to go with all of this. Juan Soto, Now, listen, Juan Soto reportedly is going to want upwards to $600 million, but he is going to test the free agent market. It's not a done deal that he's going back to New York. So very reminiscent, very similar to that of what Aaron Judge did in tipping his toes into the free agent waters of a couple of years back, and then, of course, just played the San Francisco Giants. If you're Buster Posey, how hard are you going after Juan Soto?
As hard as I possibly can. You want $700 million? Please, take whatever you want. You want, you know, deferred money for the next 30 years? By all means, take it. It is I gotta get a superstar in the Bay. And what better superstar to get than what, the third best player in baseball, the second best left-handed hitter in baseball, a guy that can slug, you know, 30 to 40 home runs into McCovey Cove and bring back some life to Oracle Park for the first time since, what, 2016, if you will? Like, I guess 2021, but, like, you gotta get that guy. You got Matt Chapman, gave him big money. Buster Posey's now taking over. You got some holes to fill. You have a left, feels like Ramos, your left fielder of the future. He was an all-star last year. Webb was an almost Cy Young winner a couple years ago. Like, they're not that far away. You give me Juan Soto, the free agents will come along in droves.
Yeah, I'm with you. And listen, I'm usually hesitant because along with the $700 million is an extended contract, right? Like, he's going to want an Aaron Judge for the next 10 to 12 years, which is, look at, man, let's just get through the next 2 years, let alone thinking about the next decade. But I think in this day and age, you're going to overpay for stars. Like, that's just the way it is, I think, in just about every sport, especially football. That you're going to be, there's a good chance you're going to eat a good portion of the contract, and this applies to whoever it is that's signing Juan Soto. I think Aaron Judge, while he's fabulous this year, you know, a guy at 6'7 playing center field, check back with me in 7 years where he's still got another, you know, three more years in that contract. So I think that, you know, there's going to be a part of the deal where you're just going to be dissatisfied, but it'll justify itself if you can get that good 5 to 6 year run with a player. If you can win that World Series, and you're like, that's fine, we'll eat the rest of that contract. But for Juan Soto, the reason why it would make sense, he's 25, man. He's 25. Yeah. Aaron Judge was on the wrong side of 30. Even when you think about those extended deals with Rodon and Gossman, you're talking about older players. But I would spend money on Juan Soto. And I typically don't say that about free agents. But Juan Soto at age 25, it's worth it. Oh, I have the money. First of all, I have the money. It's on the sidelines. I need a star, as you pointed out. Like, I need not only someone that's going to hit home runs, be an RBI guy, and do everything that Juan Soto provides between the lines, but I need that PR hit. Like, there's no reason to go watch the Giants. Yeah, Logan Webb's your best player, but come on. Is Logan Webb going to get me and the kids out of the door? Like, we got to go see Logan Webb play today. I mean, maybe, if you're a diehard, but he's not a draw. He's not a Daryl Strawberry. He's not an Aaron Judge. He's not must-see TV. Juan Soto is. So they need him in that regard. Not to mention, he solidifies right field, and now you have an outfield of Jung-Hoo Lee in center. As you mentioned, Elliot Ramos out there in left, and Juan Soto, and now you go around the infield, and
it's pretty good.
You know, I got Matt Chapman holding down third. You got to get Willie Adames, Fitzgerald at second, and then we'll see just, you know, how far away Bryce Eldridge is from being your next first baseman. But suddenly this looks like a baseball team, whereas just a couple of months ago it was complete chaos. Here's the thing, and here's the memo, Buster Posey. You wanted to be the president of baseball ops? Well, with that comes certain pressures. And here's your first one. Go sign him. Go sign him. I don't, no excuses. You went after Farhan, as maybe not publicly, but we all did when he screwed up. You wanted this position. You got it. Get it done. I don't want to hear, well, you know, he came here and just wanted to be in a bigger city. No. You're Buster Posey, supposedly, a guy that can sit down and immediately demand that respect in the room. Well, prove yourself and get Juan Soto. No excuses.
With that said, are you more in on Juan Soto than you were on Aaron Judge or Shohei Ohtani? Because it certainly seems like that those players that you liked them, they're certainly superstars, but Juan Soto, you are more open to backing up the Brink truck and saying, carry my franchise for the next 10 to 15 years. Is that the case?
Yes. Well, the thing with Aaron Judge, why I was out on Aaron Judge again was because of the years. He's 30 years of age and to sign that contract for as long as he wanted. While I just mentioned that you're going to eat a good portion of it, I think you're going to eat a large part of what Aaron Judge is amazing this year. But again, at 6'7", I just don't see the sustainability with that man. And as far as Shohei is concerned, I never thought Shohei was coming here. I thought Shohei was a SoCal guy. Juan Soto makes sense because, again, he's 25, and while he plays with New York, even in San Diego, I mean, you had Machado, you had boys in New York.
Yeah,
he might be your second, third, or fourth best player, probably your second best player on days, your best player. But still, he's got to share top billing with Aaron Judge. Giancarlo Stanton went deep yesterday. I mean, there are stars on the New York Yankees. He comes to the Giants, Sterling, and he's the face of the team immediately. He's the face of the franchise. So you might be able to sell him on that. So, yeah, I'm in on Juan Soto, much more so than Shohei and the before-mentioned Aaron Judge.
So with that said, which I completely agree with you, you give Juan Soto whatever he wants to get him in the orange and black. Back to the World Series, though. It seems like the Yankees and the Dodgers are going to be the matchup if all things go the way they currently are trending. If you are a Giants fan and your pipe dream is signing Juan Soto, while I know it's anybody but the Dodgers, would you prefer that the Yankees don't win the World Series, have Soto say, you know what, I want to go to a place that has that new Buster Posey figure in the in the front office. It's like, hey, I got three of these puppies. You have zero of these things. I want to flash my rings in front of you and say, hey, I got some pedigree where Brian Cashman doesn't in the last, I don't know, decade plus. Judge doesn't have one so far. Come be the star and come to a place that has won more rings than the Yankees since, like, 2005. Like, is that what you want, Yankees to lose? Would you, I guess what I'm asking is, would you give up the Dodgers winning the World Series if it meant signing Juan Soto?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I know that's painful, but if I can get Juan Soto and I can then challenge, hopefully, the Los Angeles Dodgers. I mean, you got to think about it internally in terms of what makes your team better, as opposed to having a rooting interest in Dodgers suck and I feel good, but I don't get Juan Soto, right? Like, the Dodgers lose, but Juan Soto is going elsewhere. Sure. If you're a diehard Giant fan and it means, yeah, let the Dodgers, just turn off the TV. Let L.A. dance for a couple of weeks. But you get Juan Soto, you've got to do it. I think when it comes to Juan Soto, and I mentioned this when Buster Posey, and I was out on Buster Posey becoming the head of baseball ops, and here's why. It's because I've heard that from a lot of people, that when he walks into the room, he's going to have a immediate sort of sense of respect. There's going to be this, as you mentioned, he's closely associated with winning and the three titles, and that goes a long way. I don't see that. I think free agents, and when it comes to free agency, there's just a bottom line. How much are you going to pay me? Like, yeah, that's great, man. I like those rings as well. Dude, can you match the $700 million? Because the Dodgers can't. Can you give me, I'm looking for 10 years. Can you give me 10 years? That's what agents want to know. After the, well, you're Buster Posey, I can't believe I'm sitting here talking to you, then it just gets down to brass tacks. Can you meet my bottom line? And my bottom line is just going to be a number, whatever that number is, $600 million, $700 million. If you can do it, well, then I'll come play for you. The fact that you're Buster Posey does not mean that I'm going to give you some sort of a deal. Maybe if the Dodgers or another team are offering the exact same price, maybe Buster Posey sort of tips those scales. But these deals usually come down to money, A. B, quality of life. Do I want to live in San Francisco? Where do I want to be? Usually stars want to be on big coastal cities, whether it's New York or whether it's Los Angeles or wherever. And thirdly, is it a team where I feel as though that I can blossom? Do they have a future? Do I fit in well? And I think in those regards, the Giants check a lot of those boxes. San Francisco is a team that is in desperate need of a star, of a guy who can be, as I mentioned, the face of the franchise. As far as Buster Posey influencing that decision, maybe, but I don't even think it's in the top five in terms of what it is that I'm looking for as far as requirements for me to sign with a certain team.
It may not be Buster Posey, this prestigious winning figure, but I do think that what Buster Posey brings to that front office is what we saw with the Matt Chapman deal, where They're kind of going back and forth. It's Farhan and it's Scott Boras. Are they going to get this thing done? Posey walks in the door and facilitates that deal getting done with Scott Boras and Matt Chapman, who Scott Boras happens to be Juan Soto's agent. They signed Blake Snell last offseason. Now Boras has like 95,000 clients, but I do think there may be some good grace from Boras to Posey simply because he walked in that room and got that deal done for Matt Chapman. They're in his good graces. Blake Snell seemingly wants to come back and kind of put that back on the team to say, hey, I'm open to it, make me an offer. We'll see what happens in that situation. But I do think that Buster Posey at least maybe has some good graces with Scott Boras. I think Buster Posey may be able to, you know, walk in and say, you know, Scott, you are definitely a tough negotiator for sure. You're going to have your guys hold out until spring training. That's fine. I'll wait for one of the greatest players in baseball if it means getting that slugger in my lineup.
You know what I love about Big Nick, our producer? He's working the channel changer. He's pointing it at me. He's just changing channels, watching like game day, man. He's not even listening to the subject matter. And Big Nick is a huge, huge... Carter.
Talking about Carter?
Yeah. Carter, what's up?
Nick.
What's your last name?
Chickering.
Oh, Big Chick.
Chickering.
No, I want Big Nick, but it's Big Chick. Carter Chick. All right. Well, then forget it. I tried to slam the guy, but if I'm going to screw up his first name, then the hell of it. It's all on me.
You have no right.
Big Chick. Now that I got his name down, I'll dig into Big Chick in a moment. But here's where I want to go when we're talking about Buster, is that Buster wanted to be the head of baseball ops. And I'm sure he took this into account, at least I'm hoping, is that now you've opened yourself up to a whole new sort of bullets and arrows that are just filled with
scrutiny,
venom and criticism that you've never endured or had to deal with in your career. So, one, it was Farhan, and he would miss on whomever, whether it was Correa, whether it was Judge, whether it was Shohei, whether it was Bryce Harper, whether the team wasn't playing well. And even though it was beyond his control, whether it had nothing to do with him, maybe a good portion of it did, but some of it was, the players got to play, he can only do so much. But the criticism went to Farhan. When you looked at Farhan, you saw a guy with glasses who looked as though he's never picked up a glove in his life, and it sort of compounded things. It was an easy target. Well, now, Buster, if you miss out on Soto and you don't get Willy Adames, and let's just say, and for whatever reason, you were never in on Soto. Let's just say Soto wanted to go back to the Yankees, but the fact he's not a San Francisco Giant, there's going to be a level of criticism if the team gets off to a slow start that he's never had to deal with before, because he's Buster Posey. He's a winner. He owns San Francisco. He walks down, he walks down the halls in the offices out there in San Francisco with the Giants, and people genuflect. They kiss his feet. They feed him grapes. You're Buster Posey. Well, now you're in a world where it's sort of baked in. I mean, ask Michael Jordan, the greatest of all time, and he's a Carolina, and he takes over a team in Charlotte, and he's terrible. And suddenly, he doesn't even deal with it anymore. Well, he sold the team, but I mean, it got to a point where these stars now have to deal with criticism, whereas prior to this, they've never ever had to sort of answer to any of this sort of stuff. So I'm just curious if he misses on Soto. Because it all starts after the World Series. Here we go, Buster. You're diving into the deep end. And if he misses on Soto and he misses on guys and it's not a good offseason, how is he handling if we're taking, hey, Joe's on line two out in, in Livermore and he's just railing on Buster Posey? How's that going to set with the guy, as you mentioned, that's synonymous with three titles?
Well, I think maybe the more MLB comparison would be Derek Jeter takes over the Marlins, and they just cannot get off the ground. The farm system doesn't get any better. They can't get any stars in, and now he's out of there, right? He's not even a part of the organization anymore. But I think Buster has earned by his play.
You. That's a perfect, perfect example, because what was Derek Jeter before he took over and became part of that ownership group? He was the consummate winner. He was the captain
was the Buster Posey.
of the New York Yankees, and he went out on top. And now a lot of us, especially sort of the younger generation that can't go that far back when you're talking about the Yankee shortstop, they see him as a guy that failed. And in the eyes of a lot of people, especially in South Florida, this guy's a loser. Can you believe that? Derek Jeter, of all people? So I don't mean to interrupt your thought, but I think it's sort of fascinating when you think about these stars and the arena they're stepping into right now.
Yeah, and I think unlike Derek Jeter, he didn't take over the Yankees. He took over the Marlins, a team that needed direction. You know, it was, we have a winner now in the front office to lead us in the right direction, and Derek didn't know really what he was doing. There, it was a directionless team with one of the best leaders in all of baseball history, whereas Buster's taking over the Giants, where he's won here, he has an MVP here, the first since Barry Bonds, three World Series. I think that alone will buy him some more grace than it would Derek Jeter in Florida or Michael Jordan in Charlotte. Like, Buster, I think, will get a good 2 or 3 year run before people start saying, well, it's the exact same thing as it was with Farhan. Why'd you make a change? Nothing's different. But even in that same conversation, I firmly believe that Buster Posey alone, when he walks into a room, like you said, people, they perk up. Oh, that's Buster Posey. He's done what I've never done with my career. Three World Series rings, an MVP. He knows what it means to win, not somewhere else. He knows what it means to win here in the Bay, in San Francisco, in this ballpark. The last winning season San Francisco has with 107 wins was because Buster Posey came back after missing 2020 and led this roster to an incredible season and was clutch money in that postseason against LA. That means something. That carries weights to players like Willy Adames, to maybe players that play on smaller markets that want to go big time and haven't won anything. I think even if they don't get Juan Soto, I think Buster Posey alone will help you get maybe big stars playing in small markets wanting to make the big jump into a bigger market like Willy Adames.
Well, I hope you're right, because I like
Buster. So do I.
I really do.
Got to get some dubs.
But again, I think this to me gets back to, it's just dollars and cents on a bottom line. Can you meet the money that it is that I'm asking for? The Buster Posey factor is sort of wears off after a second once he sits down. And then it just becomes about dollars and cents like any other agent that's dealing with the president of baseball ops. And for Buster Posey, when they say, okay, man, are you more impressed with Buster Posey, who was synonymous with three championships as a catcher? Yeah, if it's a 3-2 fastball and we need a run, Buster can turn on something and win us a title, or he can throw out a runner at second base, or he can call a really good game in terms of handling that pitching staff of Kane and Lincecum back in the day. But in terms of a front office, am I more impressed with Buster, who's never done it before? Or am I more impressed with, say, someone like Scott Harris out with Detroit? Or Elias,
in San Francisco.
He was the GM, very good, with the San Francisco Giants, and now the president of baseball ops with Detroit, which I think is the envy of just about every baseball fan. They got everybody under team control, and everyone's under the age of 25. Like, am I more impressed with that? Or Mark Elias, who is the guy that's turned around the Baltimore Orioles, that's a young dude? Like, to me, as an agent, like, I'm like, I think I want to be with you. You know how to build a winner. Whereas, yeah, Buster Posey was good between the lines, but I don't know if he knows what the hell he's doing when it comes to, you know, dotting the I and crossing the T's when it comes to being the president of the team.
I think what you're getting at is, you know how to be a winner, but you don't know how to build a winner. And that's the distinction. And I think for the Giants, maybe one thing that helps Buster is he doesn't have to bring in a new staff. It is all free agents. It's the roster construction itself. Yeah, he has to sign a GM and whatnot, but Melvin's already in place. They just gave JP Martinez the pitching coaching job yesterday because Brian Price left. Like, he doesn't have to deal with finding a new coaching staff and the roster construction. It is simply just, go get me stars. And I don't think you make a move like Buster Posey. And like you said, Buster Posey wanted this job. He saw this franchise was just middling out. It was an average roster, an average team with an average record at the end of every single season under Farhan. He wanted to make that change, which to me, it tells me that they want to be aggressive. Farhan wants to step in and, again, steer that ship back to where it should be, which is winning championships, or at least being competitive for them. And I think that alone shows me they're going to be aggressive. Whether they sign guys, obviously time will tell. But I think they'll be more in on these stars and will have a higher chance of signing these star players than they had with Farhan. Farhan had one winning season, and outside of that, there was talks about, oh, the city isn't good enough, and, you know, well, we tried, and it was like all these excuses, whereas Buster walks in, there's no excuses. It is, look, this city, knows how to take care of its stars and take care of its winners. In the Bay, Bonds can eat for life, obviously. Posey, Crawford, Belt, those guys can eat for life wherever they go. Like, this city is desperate for winning when it comes to baseball. San Francisco, with the 49ers, can't get over the hump. The Warriors won a couple years ago, but the roster we'll get into later, I'm sure. It's kind of like, who are they this year? The baseball needs to win. They haven't gone to a World Series since 2014, and sure, that's a little envious now, you know, getting a little greedy here, but 2021 was a five-game series, and then you're done. And then after that, it was kind of a tanking down to the bottom of the NL West again. So I think Buster does separate himself from the rest of the common GM and does put San Francisco in a much better place to sign these stars we all want to have back in the Bay.
Like, I know we're going to – did I just start a sentence like I'm a 12-year-old girl?
Yeah.
Or there's this, I have this friend of mine who has a kid who is, he's like, I say he's 14, and everything this kid says is, you know what I mean? So I went to say, you know what I mean? So I went and saw this movie with my friends, you know what I mean?
Well, my
you know,
thing is.
Yeah. So I'm like, come on, man. Right. Kids got issues. But when it comes to Buster Posey, when we're talking about, you know, getting players, I think you just got to go out and get these guys. Go get Willy Adames, because for Farhan and all the criticism, which a lot of it was just, he's not leaving Buster Posey with the cupboards bare. I mean, the Logan Webb deal was a good deal. Now, as much deride him, Logan Webb was a good deal. I think that Chapman, whether you want to credit, you know, depending on who it is, Andrew Bagley or whoever the writer is, or was it Slusser that said, no, it was Farhan that cemented the deal. And then I think Bagley said, no, Buster Posey had something to do with it, or maybe it's the other way around. But the Chapman is a good deal. Alex Cobb could be a quality pitcher for this team. And he fleeced Seattle with, you know, giving them basically, you know.
You mean Robbie Ray?
Robbie Ray.
Cobb's at the Guardians now, pitching in the ALCS.
Right. Robbie
getting
Ray.
Getting blown up in New York.
Robbie Ray, former Cy Young Award winner. So, he's done a lot of good things. Like, I think this team and Elliot Ramos and Patrick Bailey's behind the plate, it's not as though this team is a complete mess. And I really think that they're in a good position, and Farhan has sort of left him with the engine running. Now it's just a matter of going forward and getting down the road. So, I would just say this, that it's pretty simple from a fan's perspective, and obviously it's a lot more complex than this, but this is what it is that you wanted to do, Buster. So as I sit here as a fan looking at this from the outside, looking in, go get Willy Adames. Go get Soto. And then obviously there's a lot of things that, you know, there's a lot of things that you can pull back and say, well, this is why it's challenging to get Soto, or this is why Willy Adames may not want to come here because of this, that, and the other thing. As a fan, we don't care. And so I just want, it's not as though I need to lecture Buster Posey, but I just hope we all understand, and especially Buster Posey, that
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now that he wants to step at the top of the mantle, that's the expectations. We don't care, just like that of Farhan, no excuses. Get these guys and win games. And I just wondering whether, you know, he's fully aware of what it is that he signed up for. All right. So Big Chick, Carter Chickering, waving me to a break. What's your middle name, Carter?
Mondavi.
Oh, man.
That's awesome. That's
Big
awesome.
Chick, or the last name of the first name. It's Mondavi from here on out. But Carter Mondavi Chickering. Because I screwed it up earlier. I'm going to give the full title. It's telling me to get to a break. When we continue, where do you want to go, Sterling? You want to do a little Warriors?
Sure. Talk about some dubs.
Let's get into the Warriors. Perfect in the preseason. Is that going to carry over? We got, like, opening tip 3 days away? How happy are you? You're not producing those things, man. You're doing the Snoopy dance,
so
aren't
happy.
You? All right. We're going to continue. It's my man, Sterling Bennett. What were you going to say, Sterling?
95.7 The Game.
Willie Adames overrated, according to the text line. Soto not the end all of baseball. You need a team, I'm assuming, well-rounded, like the Guardians and the Dodgers. Yeah, that's interesting. It's Sterling Bennett, it's Dan Devone, and, of course, it's Carter Chickering that is producing here today. And we talk
Mondavi.
About, yeah. Tell me really quick, Mondavi. What's the origin of Mondavi is the middle name there, Big Chick?
It's my mom's family name.
Oh, I like it. All right. Sterling, what's the middle name?
Michael.
Oh, I'll stick with Mondavi.
They're a little boring, sorry.
That sounds very Oklahoma-esque.
I will say this, though, that my original last name is not Bennett. My great-grandfather came over from Italy, and my original last name is De Benedetti. So a little more flavor to that.
Are you kidding me? My college roommate was a De Benedetti.
Oh,
yeah, he played baseball. So that's amazing. So you have some.
Well,
Paisan
I played baseball as well. So
you have some Paisan in you.
Yes, yes. My father, his original last name is Michael De Benedetti. My grandfather's name is Warren De Benedetti. My name should be Sterling De Benedetti.
Well, I mean, you can always legally change it. De Benedetti, man, I'm telling you, that goes a long way. I had no idea that you had some flavor in you. I just thought you were another tractor kid from Oklahoma.
No, we got some flavor. My mother is from Oklahoma, for sure. My dad's a Concord, born and raised guy, went to Mount Diablo High School, but there's some Italian blood in these veins.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, I got some Italian blood in me as well. And my middle name is O'Brien, and I grew up Obie, as a matter of fact. Anybody, family and friends, just call me Obie. Dan is, you know, that was sort of my theater name, if you will. All right. So I'm looking at the text line, and it's interesting. They're talking about how the Guardians, you need something well-rounded. Isn't baseball really sort of, it's amazing when you think about, now listen, at the end of the day, when the dust clears, it may just be the Dodgers and the Yankees, the two best teams in baseball that are outstanding. But for the second straight year, a team like that of the Mets made a serious run. And look at, the Mets were tied with the Diamondbacks at the end of the regular season. And my point in all of this is that the Giants, as bad as they were not that far behind. Yes, they were, but I'm just a little tinkering here and there, and you just got to get invited to the party these days. And you can be the Arizona of last year, or you can be the Mets of this year, because it's just about getting hot for 3 weeks. And as you shrink rotations and you capture that magic, I mean, you can make things happen. So this idea that the San Francisco Giants are so far away, and even this past year, just being, you know, obviously being a sub-500 team is not going to get it done, but it's not as though the mountain that you have to climb is that steep. You're not that far away, I don't believe, Sterling.
Well, take the Tigers, for example. They sold at the trade deadline. Jack Flaherty, who on the Dodgers now, he was a Tiger. He was their number two pitcher coming into the year behind Tarik Skubal, and they sold. They let some guys go, and they said, you know what? Let the young guys play and see how this thing works out. They knock off the Astros. They were close to beating the Guardians, and you're talking about, you know, a young team up and coming now. No, they are here and a competitor. So the Giants, who have Matt Chapman, a potential all-star third baseman, they have an ace in Logan Webb, they have an all-star outfielder in Elliot Ramos, a returning hopeful all-star in Jung-Hoo Lee next year. You add in Juan Soto, you add in somebody else, you know, San Francisco becomes, you know, one of the maybe contenders to one of those teams you point to and say, hey, if they can get in that 88 wins, they can cause some damage in the playoffs.
Kansas City lost more than 100 games last year. Kansas City was a joke. Yeah. And they were a postseason play. I mean, it can happen. It can happen for the Giants. And so you just hope that the one thing where I would say, okay, Buster Posey works, is because at this point, while you're not far away, sometimes the difference being is just a change of culture. And I know that culture word at the end of the day, like, what the hell is that? Well, I think it's what
Buster, a football term.
Yeah, I think it's what Buster Posey could provide. Like, you just, to me, like, he was miscast. If he was the assistant to the GM, or if he had a role where he was just walking around and Buster Posey had input, let him be in on the meetings if you're trying to get Willie Adames. And he could be a change of the culture guy. He can be a guy like, no, this is what we need to do to create winning. But in charge of baseball ops, my man, do you know what it is that you're biting off here? Like, do you have any idea the minutiae that you got to deal with? Like the minor league system, putting together an analytics team? I'm telling you, the head of baseball, the president of baseball operations, those jobs are usually relegated to eggheads, nerds. We just have the wrong nerd in Farhan. It's these guys who are econ majors. These are guys that have masters in business management. That's the job, man. They enjoy this stuff. They get off on this stuff. They love just crunching numbers. I don't think Buster Posey's that guy. I mean, does he really want to sit there and put in 10 hours, which is what it is he's got to do with four little kids running around his house and overseeing all of that? It's a completely different animal than being in the squat and putting down two fingers saying, give me a fastball, and calling a good game with Lincecum on the bump. So I just think he was miscast. I think that if he was a guy that could change the culture just simply because of his presence, and now that he's not a consultant, but he's now an actual executive member of the team, not the head of baseball ops, man.
But that's maybe why the GM, whoever he picks, which if you look at who they've kind of pointed to and who they're leaning towards, it's guys like Billy Owens, who is the A's assistant GM. It's guys like Dejon Watson or Logan White, guys who are in the special advisor roles in the analytic departments from the Padres and the Astros and the Royals, guys you point to and say, hey, you should be the head. Posey's like, I'll be the face. I want you guys in the background doing all the work for me. So I think depending on who Buster picks as the GM and the assistant GM will go a long way into determining, I think, how successful they can be for sure, because Buster then could be the guy in the meetings listening, not facilitating, but for sure, you know, advising in those meetings, because that's what he was doing in the Chapman deal. Things aren't getting done. He walks in as an advisor and says, you know what? We're going to get this thing figured out. And it gets figured out. So we don't know how hands-off Buster will be either. He can be super hands-off and let his guys work. Or he can be like Farhan and be super hands-on, giving Bob Melvin lineups to use every single day.
I hope it's just not like a Magic Johnson scenario where, you know,
I'm not going to be here.
Yeah, exactly. I just hope it's not one day where he just, you know, it's like 8 o'clock at night and he's in his office and he calls up his wife and says, honey, what the hell did I sign up for? This is nuts. I just want to come home because it's, you're right, it's for the, like, Owen should have been like a candidate to be what it is that Buster Posey has become. Because if you're going to outsource, if you're going to relegate all that responsibility to the GM, then just let him be the president of baseball ops. Because if you're going to outsource all those sort of things, you know, it's just, you just become a guy that's hiring people that are going to, you know, that are going to do things within their own vision. So, I mean, there could be some conflict there. I hope it works out, because I don't just say this because there's a lot of guys, you know, we've done enough shows, Sterling, where I can be critical of enough people that I don't just simply throw a blanket statement like, I like this guy simply because he's a star. I think Buster's cool. I like the way he doesn't give you anything with the most boring answers, maybe in the history of sports over the last 10 years. He gives you nothing. And that's because he doesn't play the game. He doesn't feed the beast. He doesn't just talk for the sake of talking. And he's always been his own cat. And I like the guy, so I do hope it works out. Let's just switch GMs and go from Buster Posey, and let's talk about Mike Dunleavy and the Golden State Warriors.
Oh, what a segue.
Hey, man. They don't give any sort of coconut a job like this, man. I'm a professional when it comes to these sort of segues. I work on these things. Are you kidding me?
That's Emmy award-winning Dan DeVone, folks. Get it right.
But let's talk about them. Golden State Warriors. Are you buying in? Are you excited? The team is 6-0. Is this a team that we underrated? Where are you at?
I mean, 6-0 for the first time in the preseason since 1974. I mean, after after the offseason, you didn't have a great year last year. You get bounced in the play-in. Klay Thompson leaves. You're kind of wondering, how does this team recalibrate? And while obviously preseason games don't matter, I do think it does go a long way into building chemistry, refinding who you once were, getting up-tempo. Steve Kerr talked about playing faster this year. I think they do have the players like Buddy Hield and Kyle Anderson and DeAnthony Melton and Pajemski that they can actually play faster, not just with the starters, but throughout the entire bench. So, you know, obviously we'll see what happens, but, I mean, when Golden State's 6-0, and they kicked the crap out of the Lakers last night, which, again, it means nothing, but you beat them by almost 50 points, it's gotta feel pretty good for Warrior fans right now.
Well, here's why I think that there might be a level of optimism, because I've been pretty out on this team going into this season, so they have been very impressive. Are we overrating the Western Conference? Like, everybody talks about the West is so deep. It is so dangerous. And it is at the very top. I will give you that. Oklahoma is on a completely different plateau than that of the Golden State Warriors. Not only because of their talent, but let's just say Oklahoma runs into problems. Do you know how many draft picks and how many moving parts that they can deal with? They are still a team that is so... Sam Presti is a little genius, man. You want a president of baseball ops, go get that guy. Sam Presti, he still has so much loaded in his back pocket that if they want to go get somebody, they have got draft picks galore. So Oklahoma is legitimate. I think Minnesota is legitimate. Dallas, I'm buying. Now, a lot of people feel as though Dallas could have been just one of those teams that was an outlier last year. I think Dallas is one of those teams that I'm going to put when you talk about a dominant West. But then after you get past those three, the Denver Nuggets, yes, as long as Jokic is doing his thing. But they've lost players over the last couple of years, and I think that KCP makes that team a little bit vulnerable. Is the Joker still a dominant basketball player? Are the Clippers, are the Lakers, are the Phoenix Suns? So when we think about the West, they could be top-heavy with three, maybe four teams. But if the Warriors get in as a five, a six, I certainly think that's plausible. I mean, I think the West is strong, again, at the top, but you're not going one through seven deep. I think the Warriors are very much in that conversation when you talk about five through eight.
Well, I mean, maybe last year the Mavericks won 50 games. They were the fifth seed. Are we asking the Golden State Warriors to have a +4 in the win differential? That's certainly on the table. But the Kings, how do you feel about them? Obviously a West Coast rival. They're still going to be competitive. The Lakers still have LeBron and Anthony Davis, and we'll see what they do this year. The Pelicans, if Zion can stay healthy, which has yet to be seen, they're still going to be competitive as well. The Clippers, I think, are in for a massive fall off. Kawhi's going to be out indefinitely again, which seems like it's an every year kind of thing for them. Then there's the Suns, where they have Kevin Durant, they have Bradley Beal, Devin Booker's there. Are they going to stay healthy? Can they actually win games together? I don't know. So when I look at the West just on paper, Golden State to me fills in that kind of 7-8 role. They can beat the Kings, same record as last year. They can win a couple more games this year. But to ask the Warriors to, be a +4 in the win differential market, it can certainly happen, but I would like to think the Thunder are probably going to be better this year. The Timberwolves can be better this year. The Clippers will get worse for sure, but I think the Mavericks are going to be a top 4 or 5 seed again this year. Like, Golden State to me fills in that borderline 6-8 seed market rather than, a top 5 seed, if you will.
Yeah, I think it's the Warriors are, I wouldn't be surprised if they're, 5-6. I think the Warriors are going to be in a slap fight and just jostling every single night for like a good month and a half for the final 2 months of the season, where they're going to fluctuate between 6 and maybe 11. I think it could be the Pelicans move up to the 6 or 7 spot, or the Lakers get hot. I could see Sacramento playing well for a stretch, or the Warriors take a step forward or take a step back. And this could be attributed to, the Houston Rockets maybe take a leap. Sacramento could be a team that plays well during stretches. But I think that when you're talking about the Suns, the Pelicans, the Lakers, the Kings, the Warriors, throw the Clippers in there, Who the hell knows? I think it's a crapshoot. I think that those teams are going to trade places in terms of seeding and positioning throughout the majority of the season. I think you're pretty much cemented at the top with Oklahoma, Denver, Minnesota. Maybe, you know, the Mavericks slide in there. But then everybody else, it's just going to be from night to night in terms of, you know, who's going to be potentially 6 through 11.
Well, then last year, we talk about winning four more games. You're in the top 8, you're in the top 6 or 7. If Draymond Green can just stay on the field and not miss 20-plus games because he's out there choking Rudy Gobert, they're going to win those extra 4 to 10 games. This team was actually, you know, near the top of the Western Conference until, or, you know, before Draymond got suspended. So it's not as if it's out of the cards for Golden State to be one of the top contenders. It's just they do have these wild cards. How does the team adapt with no Klay Thompson, which so far through the preseason they look pretty good? And can Draymond keep his cool? And how long can Curry carry the team? And those aren't, you know, those are to me some big questions to have this year, which can be answered if Draymond can keep his nose clean, but that's yet to be seen throughout his entire career. And Curry's Curry, he's great, but once you get to game 50 or 42, you know, how much more does he have in the tank?
All right, let's throw out the phone number for the first time today, 888-957-9570. That's 888-957-9570. We'll officially open up the gates, and the phone lines are now ready to go. Let's start things with our man out in San Jose. Say good morning to Austin. Austin, what's up, my man?
Hey, good morning. Happy Saturday, guys. Great conversation. A couple quick things. One, Buster Posey. I think it reminds me a little bit of when the Warriors hired Chris Mullin years ago to be the GM. Really over his head. I mean, we all love Chris as a player, but Chris the player didn't translate into Chris the GM. So that's one thing to watch. I agree with you, Dan. I think it's kind of a reach. It sounds a little bit desperate to me, but you know, I think that the ownership had no choice. They had to kind of salvage everything with Farhan being such a lightning rod to the fans. They look for some way to stabilize the image, if nothing else. So I'm not sold on Buster being able to bring people in just based on the fact that he's Buster Posey. I question that a little bit. I'm not sure about how the Dave athlete really cares about that stuff. They care about their money first. And I think if Buster is going to pay him, that's great, but if he can't get it done, like you said, Dan, it doesn't matter whether his name is Buster or Curry or whoever. So, second thing I wanted to talk about was the Warriors. Just throw out last night's game. It doesn't mean anything. They were playing against G League guys. I mean, come on. The Lakers should be embarrassed to bring a team up here to play an exhibition game like that. And Joe Lacob needs to charge $25 for that ticket. I mean, it's okay to say we're going to play a game, but let's not act like this was a real NBA game. And The Warriors are 6-0, guys, but I'm more on the side of I got to see it. Kuminga still looks like a guy that's playing kind of single-dimensional. He's not an all-around good player yet. He scores, but he's not rebounding consistently. He's not making his teammates better on every night. So I think we got to pump the brakes on Kuminga and even Moody. Everybody's talking about Moody being this great, having this great exhibition season. But if he's your best player in the preseason, I'm not sure that's a good thing. Kuminga should have been the guy that really should be stepping out. He's the guy that's trying to get $30 million a year. So why aren't we hearing more about Kuminga? I mean, it seems like we're talking about his point. But is he really solidifying himself as a starter, potential starter in a lineup? So I guess the way I want to say it, guys, is let's just see it. I'm not ready to project the Warriors into the 5-8. I still think they're a nice seed right now, and we'll see what happens. Thanks, guys.
Strong as always, Austin. Sterling, I'll hand it over to you. What do you think? First of all, when it comes to Jonathan Kuminga, are you giving him an extension?
No, because you do have the restricted free agent card to still play. You can match any deal that he has. And I think it was Shams on ESPN yesterday said that they're far apart on a deal, which is funny to me because I like Jonathan Kuminga, but what has he done to warrant a max contract?
Yeah.
Nothing. He's shown you some spurts, and you're like, wow, there's a great player in there somewhere. But when you are already paying Draymond Green a lot of money, you just gave Curry another extension. he's getting a lot of money, which both those guys have earned that money. Jonathan Kuminga has yet to earn that max contract, and I think when you look around the other teams in the NBA, how many of those teams want to give him that max contract? Probably almost none of them, unless they're young and upcoming, but I don't think Kuminga has earned that money just yet. He has to cement himself as a quality NBA starter before you even talk about you want a max contract, so I wouldn't give him that, no.
And also, I think it's important to keep in mind that this is not Bob Myers, but it's Mike Dunleavy. And when you think about the recent history in terms of extensions and bringing guys back, well, it begins with Jordan Poole, mistake.
Yeah.
Andrew Wiggins, I'm thinking if they could revisit that, they would. Even Draymond Green. I know that that might be counter to a lot of people's popular thinking, but if this team is headed in another direction where you want to get younger, was bringing back Draymond Green, especially after what it is that he did last year, worth it? Now, there's a lot of people that could disagree, but I'm throwing that out there that the recent re-signing and extension of players has not necessarily bode well for the Warriors. And I think that because of that, they're going to be very, very cautious as far as what it is that they do with Jonathan Kuminga. Because it continues to be a lot of promise, a lot of excitement, but it now is time for you to produce. Okay, we've run out of the grace period. You're no longer a young player. It's time for you. Now we're going to get the big hang up a year ago was he wanted run. He said, I deserve playing time. And he did. He was right.
Yeah.
If I was arbitrating that and I was a judge, I'd say, Steve Kerr, you lose. This guy has played well. He deserves the minutes. Why the hell is he, putting up 25 and getting, 30 minutes of run one night and then he disappears for the next two? Give this guy an opportunity. But there is still not a level of consistency with his game. And I think that we know he could score the basketball, but there's a couple of things that he's got to do this year, as far as I'm concerned. In that he's got to shoot the three with some consistency, which he's done in the preseason. If you want to be a small and you want to play the three, well, guess what? In the NBA in 2024, you got to be able to step behind the stripe and shoot it well. And he doesn't have that, or at least he hasn't shown that in his career to this point. And secondly, if you're going to play for Steve Kerr and you want to get time, you've got to be good defensively. And if you want to play alongside Draymond, and he's good on the ball, but you got to understand rotations. You got to understand how to get back in terms of transition defense. This team was so, so bad of that of a year ago. Really quick, Sterling, before we get to the break, let's just give me Big Smooth, who's out in Oakland, who wants to talk about the Warriors. Big Smooth, how you doing?
Yeah, real quick, man. Listen, I agree with the first caller. In that game last night, I think Steve Kerr, in light of what happened, maybe he should have been playing Quentin Post and just empty and let his bench play. I think J.J. Redick threw out a Bronny game. That game was for Bronny to get a lot of minutes, and they couldn't justify it by putting him in there with people that are really going to play in the NBA. I think that game was just set aside for Bronny so he can pump up his dire stats. That's 17, and he's probably averaging like 1 point a game before that. But in light of Kuminga, listen, we're not giving out bags like that anymore. The second apron stuff, this is a whole different ball game now. We're not doing that. I know that we've learned and evolved from the Jordan Poole deal. We're waiting it one more year to give Jordan Poole that money, but we end up paying for it dearly. So, yeah, Jonathan Kuminga, go out and get your bag. It's there for you, but you got to go out and get it. I love what the Warriors are doing this year. You got to earn it this year. Make everybody earn everything. Nothing wrong with that. I think we're better for it. I think this team right now is forging. They're learning how to win, and they're learning their identity kind of early this year. So I kind of like it. I believe they're a playoff team. I think some of these teams are going to fall by the wayside. I just believe this team is put together defensively to do some damage. Anyway, you guys have a great day.
No, I like it, Big Smooth. And Sterling, to his point, I like the idea that maybe you got Steph and Draymond, and then everybody else, hey, you better bring it because there are no guarantees in terms of starting spots on this team.
You got to play onto the court, right? It's like you're playing pickup. Hey, you got two on two. Hey, got to find a third, right? And I think, you know, for the Golden State Warriors, they have so many veteran players. Buddy Hield's been playing great from behind the arc during the preseason. D'Anthony Melton, obviously, and obviously at Pajemski, too. But, you know, they have a lot of young guys that you can see there is something there. Kuminga, Moody, Pajemski, obviously, Trayce Jackson-Davis. But it's about, can you bring that out of them? There's so many NBA stars, lottery picks that you see and go, wow, what can they be in a couple of years' time? And they just don't pan out. Jabari Parker, Andrew Wiggins is one of those players. While it was a long time ago, Wiggins has not been, you know, number one, number two overall pick worthy throughout his entire career. So for Kuminga's sake, it's like, hey, you want that contract? Come to work every day, put your head down, don't complain about minutes. You want to earn those minutes. You haven't earned them yet. You're not going to be given those minutes because you're young and you're fast and you're electric. I don't care. Come to work every day, learn the rotations, learn how to play defense, then you'll get what you put the work in for. So I agree with Big Smooth. You got to earn your minutes this year.
All right, we continue here on 95.7 The Game. Let's roll along with the Warrior talk. Undefeated in the preseason. You in or out on this team as the regular season now just days away. We'll be back right after this.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.